Hello, and welcome to another fine episode of the Tombstone Podcast, a podcast where we talk about video games, the video game industry, and whatever else we want. My name is Devin.
I'm Kevin.
My name is Dominic.
And I'm Zach.
And before we get started with our, we're going to just do a continuation of our decade in review, and I believe we still have a lot of topics that we wanted to get to, but before we get to that, what games have we been playing, or what games are we excited about? You know the spiel. Hit us, Kevin.
Well, like I told y'all, I wanted to get back to Hollow Knight because I never actually beat it. And so I started over, a rookie mistake, because now I'm like, you always feel like you want to like, oh man, it's been so long, I should start over. But now I'm getting to like the same exact point, and I'm like, all right, I'm getting kind of tired. So I'm playing it. I'm at the point, you know, where you find out that there's three special dudes, and I'm about to get to the first special dude. And I'm like, all right, I'm kind of tired. So I'm putting it down for a little bit, but I've been enjoying it. It's just really long.
Yeah. And some games get to that point where you when you decide to go back and start a new playthrough, you feel like you should be able to do the things that you usually do, like, and especially for a game like Hollow Knight or like Devil May Cry and other games like that, where you keep unlocking stuff. You're like, oh, I should be able to double jump here, and you can't double jump yet because you haven't unlocked it, and you're like, what the fuck?
I should be able to dash. That to me, the biggest one, like, it was the dash, because in every game where you unlock a dash, I immediately try dashing. I'm like, fuck. That happens in, like, to me, that happens the most in Mega Man, because you don't get the dash until you fight like the first boss, or the first level anyway, after the entrance stage. So it's just like, you just feel like naked for a little bit. You're like, oh, fucking bullshit. And in Hollow Knight, it's even worse when it's the wall jump. When you don't have the wall jump, it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you just can't fucking get anywhere.
All right, Dominic, what about you? What you got for us?
Yeah, well, I haven't been able to do much. I know I missed last week with some personal things, and then in that time before then, I've really only had the opportunity to either sit and play a little bit of RuneScape because it's on my phone, or Binding of Isaac on the Switch. A few of those just smaller games just to keep it rolling until now. So now that I'm a little bit more back into it, I expect to do a little bit more next time.
You got anything that you're maybe excited for that might be coming up soon, or what?
I don't know what's coming up soon. I really don't. I mean, Cyberpunk is coming out, which is going to be pretty interesting. Animal Crossing, I'm excited for still. Also, now that I think about it, Halo, like the Master Chief Collection. Like, we need more content, because we played Reach and we liked Reach, and then we just it was like, okay, we need the rest of it now.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on that, but it's been really slow, and I don't know why. But I agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
Zach, what you got for us?
I've actually been playing the new Kingdom Hearts DLC. They added a little bit of extra story at the end, but then they also added the, I guess, data battles from Kingdom Hearts 2, where you just go back and fight the Organization 13, but a lot harder, and beat, I think, 8 of them at this point, so still have a few more to go, but slowly making progress.
Did you ever learn the rules?
Nope.
I mean, no, you still haven't learned the rules yet?
Sorta, but still haven't beat him, no.
Okay.
Wait, what?
So, for context, there's one of them. It's Luxord. He has cards. He does things like that.
Okay.
The whole time during the fight, he's constantly saying, learn the rules. And,
needless to say, I was watching Zach, and he did not learn the rules.
He does, like, different gimmicks with cards, and you have to like play a game with him to defeat him, and when you lose, you die. So you got to learn the rules in order to beat him, but I still don't fully understand how that fight works.
Yeah.
So you actually have to learn the rules. That's yes. great.
Yep. It's a really weird fight. I was watching and I was like, this none of this makes sense to me. Like you're like, I don't know what to do, and I was like, dude, I can't help you. I have no idea what's going on.
Just gotta learn the rules, man.
Gotta learn the rules. Just gotta learn the rules. Just gotta learn the rules. God damn, what a meme. Yeah, speaking of, like, I guess because Cyberpunk, I guess we didn't really mention this. They announced, was it 2 weeks ago, that they're pushing delaying it mm-hmm. by uh-oh. Until like later this year.
Oh wow!
They're like we're done and we're polishing, but we just need more time to polish it.
Good.
Yeah. And good. I can't, like, I know a lot of people are very disappointed that it's still going to be a lot longer until I get to play Cyberpunk, but I think that's a really, really smart move to take. To be to be able to do that anyways, like, I mean, most studios nowadays are not going to, they're going to release it early rather than wait and delay it. And yeah. I really respect them for that. And I'm so excited to see how it's going to turn out. I think it's going to be, it's going to be a groundbreaking game.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for it.
We talked a little bit about before we keep going. We talked a little bit about in probably during the indie games episode that the games that have stood out to us the most in the indie world have been those where it may have took a little bit longer for the game to be produced, but the amount of time they took during that time to polish it, you know, made the difference. And that's what it really comes down to, a lot of these titles.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Other than that, I have been playing a lot of League. I need to get back into Apex because they have the events, which have been a little bit lackluster, I think. All the events have been just kind of meh. I feel like they could have put a little bit more effort into it and make them a little bit more exciting rather than here's Apex, but... and I don't know. And then just playing RuneScape a shit ton, trying to grind out them levels. Yeah.
It's so like let's every week you and Zach are both like, yeah, also RuneScape.
Also RuneScape. I mean, shit, it's
the ever-present fucking specter of your life.
Because you have RuneScape mobile, so I can just at work while I'm sitting at the desk doing nothing, I can just sit there and just grind out something that's really repetitive that I don't have to watch and I don't have to actively... I mean, it's kind of like when we were talking about idle games. It's like something I can shift my focus away from work for a few minutes to do this thing and then shift back to work. And RuneScape's the same way with a lot of the skilling that you can do is very... It's very... you don't have to... focus on it. You can just AFK it, and it's enjoyable. So let's get into our decade in review. I don't know where we left off at. I don't know if someone maybe wants to take the reins and just kind of guide us through about whatever, because I know we had a few more topics that we wanted to talk about. So if anyone wants to take it away, please do.
I think one that was kind of on our minds right before we started the session was talking about trying to rack our brains for flops mainly, because we talked about titles and franchises that made some really, really nice hits and then kind of fell off after, or even more unfortunately made some okay games and then they just fell off the map. But I mean, the only thing that really did come to our minds was Anthem, in the past couple of years that really that were kind of disappointing and ultimately flopped as an individual title. But I wasn't sure if there are any more, and I was trying to even like look through the market for like, you know, poor reviewed games and stuff like that, like stuff that just didn't make the cut, and nothing really stood out. You know what I mean?
Well. If we don't want to dwell on Anthem very much, sure. There was Evolve.
Oh.
If you remember that. That was the asymmetric multiplayer hunting the monster as a group mm-hmm. game. 1v4. It was one of those bad business practice things where they were like, here's the base game, which is like a fucking modicum of content, and then here's to get everything was like $150 in addition to the $60. It was just like fucking ridiculous. That game, like, and then they came back free to play for a little bit because they were like, please come back.
Yeah, please play our game, buy our shirts.
Yeah, please come back. And nope, not a whole lot of that.
Wow. That reminds me of one of our older segments that we did on the show where we did the hypothetical of if Tombstone podcast made a game, and about mine being like, well, yeah, I mean, the first game is going to be kind of shite, but it's going to be like $40, but then all the DLC is going to be like just as much, but it's going to be like 2/3 of the game is blocked by like two other paywalls. Like that kind of
this is what the game should have been, but you need to pay another $80 just to get it.
Yeah, but then I don't know, in that magical fantasy land, people actually hopped up on it, so it's good to see that the reality is people aren't hopping on that anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. But another flop that I know of is Mighty Number 9. If y'all remember fucking gem.
Mighty Number 9?
Mighty Number 9 is a Mega Man, a very Mega Man-like game made by, I can't remember the name of the indie studio, but they were headed or directed or something by the old producer of old Mega Man games. But like, being a producer doesn't really mean that you know what Mega Man is about. Right.
Oh my god, so, it looks exactly like Mega Man.
Yeah, no, like it was because people wanted a new Mega Man and there wasn't a new Mega Man. They're like, "Oh, we'll make one." And then it sucked.
Yeah.
And no one cared about it, and there was a ton of weird business shit around it where they were like, "All right, cool. We know we're not done with Mighty Number 9 yet, but we're going to start kickstarting something else as well, called Red Steel." I think it was. It was like another game that was called Red Steel that they were going to start working on when Mighty Number 9 wasn't even done yet. And they were going to start like an animated series for Red Steel as well. And then like on top of all of that, like when they first launched the Kickstarter for Mighty Number 9, this is all from memory, so correct me if I'm wrong, but they had this like 2D aesthetic where it was like hand-drawn 2D, maybe not like fully hand animated, but it was a 2D game. And, you know, if you look at these screenshots now, you'll see that it's most decidedly not a 3D game. So it's just kind of like it's a game that they made saying, oh, you want Mega Man? Here's more Mega Man. But it was not more Mega Man by any fucking stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
So that was just like a huge disappointment. And I remember like a bunch of YouTubers who jumped on and supported it, and like their name is in the credits. They're like, I'm ashamed of this game.
Editor Kevin here, making a quick correction. I said Red Steel. I meant to say Red Ash. I also said that it's decidedly not a 3D game, but it's actually decidedly not a 2D game. So just wanted to correct that really quick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, imagine they got the brand deal, right? So they were like, yes, buy this game. That's super reminiscent. And it's funny because after the Mighty Number 9, and I remember that too, everyone was just kind of like, okay, I guess. And then Mega Man 11 came out, which
Mega Man 11 came out, which a lot of people really liked.
And honestly, it's funny. I grew up with Mega Man as just about all of us did, but I never it was never like one of my favorites. But Mega Man 11, I really appreciated the polish that they put on it by just making it sort of just newer, just a little bit more fresh. People criticize that it's short and the bosses are kind of simplified, and you know,
Mega Man's always been short though. Like
Right.
I can beat Mega Man X in like an afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not that long.
Yeah. And it's that kind of just like very, very quick revivals of these older games that people have done that have been successful, just not like huge. Like Sonic Mania as well. That came out 2017, and
sounds about right.
Yeah, it was a pretty much just a refresh of Sonic while still keeping it retro, So you still have Green Hill Zone, you still have, and it's all super crazy, over the top. You don't know where you're going, with like a couple, just new quality of life refreshes. But the problem with it, though, is that, and I could be wrong, it was like I was saying earlier, they were popular, sure, but they weren't, you know, they weren't, I don't think they were, they may not have been as big as they were intended to be. So they didn't necessarily flop, and they definitely weren't unsuccessful, but they may have just missed the mark a little, just a bit on it in the public eye, I think. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe so.
What series do y'all think, like, a two-parter, what series do you think died in the last decade, and then what series also had like a phoenix, like a rebirth? Because like I was just thinking, like, fucking Duke Nukem Forever.
That's
absolutely
that's
destroyed,
a huge flop.
Absolutely destroyed any hope of Duke Nukem coming back forever.
It's dead forever. I love how much of a shit show that development cycle was. It was like 12 years of like them starting with an engine and then them fucking around for a while, and then they're like, all right, well, this didn't work, so let's just start over. Yeah. and eventually they were like, all right, cool, we're getting pretty close to being done, and then like the next console generation came out and they're like, all right, time to scrap all that and just start over.
Yeah.
It was fucking hilarious.
Series that have sort of died, it's tough, because sometimes you have a series that they'll make one more and everyone's like, is it going to revive the series? And then it kind of does. Like, I know last episode, I know we talked about the Middle Earth series of games kind of falling out, and after Shadow of War, people liked it for sure, but afterwards they were like, it's more the same as Shadow of Mordor, so people were a little uninterested. And we also talked about the Lord of the Rings game series as well, in that they kind of fell out. But I mean, as far as die-offs, I don't think it's accurate to say die-off, but GTA just kind of seems bland to me now. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's because we've had GTA 5 for like what, 6 years now?
I think
pretty damn
so.
Long.
I think it's been like 6 years.
Yeah, four. It was actually 4 years. It'll make 5 years. It came out 2015 for the PC.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not necessarily. It's a really good game, and people still put plenty of hours into it. And it was one of the first games to break $1 billion in profits.
Yeah.
So I just think it's okay. Yeah, it's like it's 5 years old. So, but I wouldn't say that it died at all. I would say it's just we'll probably give it like another 2 years before we see another GTA, because it's still living its life.
Full
and they're probably waiting. Yeah, they're probably waiting for like next gen consoles to come out, and then okay, hey, let's announce a new GTA. But yeah. I don't think it's dead. GTA 5 did not kill it at all.
Yeah, I was trying to clarify. I think it just feels a little bit more stale as opposed to dying off. But man, you know, nothing really comes to mind of things that have of series that have like really, really sort of died. I mean, we had a few. I mean, of course, you know, we had Duke Nukem. People were very concerned about Halo for a while, and then they sort of revived it.
They revived old stuff. I don't think they're making anything new that's worthwhile is the problem there.
Yeah, well, there really hasn't been much press about Halo Infinite, though, you know, and it's supposed to be, I guess, the last title, or at least the last of this 343 trilogy. But
you know, I think sports games are dying.
Yeah.
Games are they're on a slow decline, and it's even becoming, I've noticed where it's even becoming where their hardcore fans are like, yeah, this is just last year's game, but actually kind of worse because there's more bugs, and you don't get to play as this person, and you don't get this roster, and they took this out, and they changed this up. I don't like the way they changed this. I feel like there's less and less and less and less hype about sports games because they release them every year, and it's the same goddamn game every year, but it might be worse. It might be a little bit better.
Yeah.
I think it's needing a different model. Like, I've always been of the mind that it's like, hey, here's the football game, here's the NFL game for this console, and every year we'll just release like roster DLC, and if you want to play competitive online, you have to have the current roster. So that's kind of like your season pass, and it keeps new stuff coming in, but like, people don't have to pay $60 every year. You know, you can make them pay $60 and like $15 per roster DLC or something like that, per season pass, you know?
Yeah, another reason why they aren't being received as well is they're being more aggressively monetized. Most games, particularly I've been noticing it with the FIFA games, they're just so aggressively monetized to where it's like you need basically loot boxes over and over and over to get whatever player or whatever thing you need. They're gearing it to where they don't need as big of a fan base. They need a smaller, more willing,
more dedicated
to pay. Less people are excited, but the people who are excited are really fucking excited, and in some cases not really excited, just kind of like addicted to that, like, I need the shit, so I'm gonna pretty much gamble. And that's a whole fucking thing if you want to go back to our loot boxes episode.
I was gonna say we really touched upon that, but more importantly, I mean, the NFL scene and now the 2K, the NBA scene as well.
NBA, you know, Matt, is pretty bad too. Yeah,
I mean, and I'm looking at NBA right now, it's all just on Steam numbers, you know, it's 39% of almost 11,000 reviews are positive. So like 40% positive, 60% negative. The game's on sale for $20 now as opposed to 60. But I mean, that's sort of also because of Lunar Calendar, but people don't like this game. And a lot of people who do like it are like we were talking about, the small percent that jump into the idea of like loot cards and player cards and booster packs for players and different things like that. And it's true. It is becoming a money grab, and it's disappointing because if we took the model, like Devin, I was thinking of your model of a singular game that we keep updating. The problem is that their plan is to continuously making these new games as a means to also fix or tweak older issues. Like, the jump between FIFA 16 and FIFA 17 was like the way that the ball operates on its physics engine. Like, it's a little more snappy or whatever, and people either like it or don't. But it's like, how do you build a $60 game around a couple bug fixes? You know, it's just, it's kind of disappointing. But, which in my brain puts it onto the next topic I think we can get into is of games that keep... Games that could use updates.
I had one more thing I wanted to say.
Yeah, of course, of course.
I have one I could bring up.
Sure.
Well, you go ahead, Zach. What do you have to bring up?
So, series that failed, the Metal Gear series. Kojima is no longer with Konami.
Yep, they made Metal Gear Survive.
And then Survive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still know almost nothing about that game, just that it was terrible.
It's a zombie survival craft 'em up in the Fox engine, which is the engine that the fifth game was in. Mm-hmm. It has no like story or anything. It's just like a sandbox zombie survival, very lame, just kind of eats your time. It doesn't really do anything. And there was also some shit where it's like, you can pay for additional save slots. It's like, are you fucking what? Like, I think they were just like, look, I know we're going to die. Let's just get as much money out of this as we can and then cash out.
Yeah, I would like to say a moment of silence for any hope of there being a KOTOR 3. Because we didn't get to see anything from this last decade, and we got to see the Old Republic MMO that it did well and it was okay, but it was not like Knights of the Old Republic. So it was a very, I mean, it's an MMO, but it was like instant stories and all of that. So it was interesting in the way that they tried to do it, but it just wasn't that interesting. And we've seen people try to remake the original KOTOR. That's gotten shut down a few times. There's actually, I think there's, I saw rumors of not less necessarily a remake of KOTOR, but a reimagining of KOTOR in order to bring it in line with canon and like make it a part of canon. I saw something about that this week, which got me a little bit excited, but it is only the faintest of rumors. So I can't really say I'm excited or hopeful that it's going to happen, just because it's probably not going to happen. But if it does, I would like to see a lot of what KOTOR has to add be considered canon for the Star Wars universe. But I don't see a KOTOR 3 happening, though, ever.
Yeah, hopefully something in the same spirit, but I don't think it'll ever actually be KOTOR 3. I have one final flop, just a really quick one. Anyone remember The Order 1886?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh my god, I do remember that.
Yeah, oh god. It's such a cool idea. Do y'all know like the idea behind it, like the premise?
Kind of. I remember it being some like weird like future punk.
Yes,
but like very 1800s future punk. It was weird.
Yeah, it's like the, it was almost like Van Helsing. Yeah, it's like the Tesla punk sort of thing where they like shoot plasma and stuff. But the idea is that you're in this group of immortal beings, immortal like humans. You found the way to be immortal, and what you do is you go through time, and like these same people are going and fighting all these supernatural things. It's like, cool, awesome. There's like, that's like a really cool premise, but it just wound up being like, oh, hide behind cover and shoot the guy. And
it became like a long. Yeah, it was like a worse version of like the Gears model of fighting, where you have the cover and then you have the run that you do and all of that. I remember that being a little bit of it. And then also kind of like BioShock, where you have those powers that you can do as well.
It could have been something cool.
Yeah, but it was like terrible AI. The combat wasn't fun. And like you said, it was a really short game. So I remember that being a huge flop. Yep. So before we move on, let's go stop by some ads for some breaking of this with ads.
All right.
And welcome back. And we're going to get into some more negative shit that has happened over the decade. We're going to talk about the curse of the early access or the forever betas that we've seen so many games this decade. And it started with like the indie game corner of gaming, where it's like, hey, we're not really going to call this a finished game, but we still like need your support in order to you know, keep working on it. But here you go. Here's an early access beta that everyone who buys a copy of it or pre-orders gets to play for now. And then, you know, we'll have a full release later on, but like for now we'll do this beta thing. And then it just turned into this thing where everyone's like, I have a half-baked idea for a game that I can quickly whip up in Unity and sell it for early access and then actually like put effort into it later on if I need to.
Yeah, a lot of the problem is because people don't approach early access the way it's kind of intended to be used. The reason you do early access is if you're somebody or maybe even a large entity and you need to test something out. You either need feedback or you need something, but you've got a pretty much finished game. You know, big companies will do it where it's like, well, we want to do a server load test. So we want people to jump on and play and make sure we can handle it. And then we can like officially say, okay, this is released. For a smaller company, it's like, well, we need player feedback because we don't have the kind of resources to have a ton of user, play testing. We don't have a lot of resources for play testing. So that's like, it's the intended thing to do, but no one ever does it. Everybody's just like, well, I can hide behind the veil of early access as long and just like, oh, that's a bug. Well, it's early access.
Sha-sha. Yeah. It's that you have bad actors that are willing to kind of take advantage of that model because it's a really easy model to take advantage of. If you have a really interesting idea for a game, a lot of people are going to want to see it. But if you don't have any kind of idea about how game development works, or you don't have like a good team behind you, you're just wasting yours and everyone else's time. But you can also get money out of it because people are willing to pay for those, like these smaller teams, these indie companies to try to make their dream, because they like, oh, that's a cool idea for a game, I want to see that made. And it's just something that's really easily, you could just take advantage of it. How many games right now are y'all playing that are early access?
Zero.
I wonder if there's like a good tag for that.
Probably a few that I can't really think of any off the top of my head though.
Because right now I can think of Tarkov is early access.
Yeah. Let me see what's in my library that's early access.
Fortnite's still technically in beta.
Yeah, okay. So Fortnite does it to get around different, I guess, rules for uploading. I know Sony, I believe it's just Sony, you have to go through a bunch of different checks and stuff when you push updates to your game. Well, those checks are a lot more lenient if your game is in a beta. So they stay in beta so that they can push updates more frequently without having to go through more checks with Sony themselves. And so they're using it more of like a loophole than an actual beta.
Seems like something Sony should check out.
Fortnite's pretty much a complete, it is a complete game. It's like a kind of like a, it's a game, was a game as a service. It's kind of like a good testament to that. It's constantly evolving. It's constantly changing, kind of like League, where it's just like every season's going to be different. It's a different game. You can look at it from season one to like season, whatever, seven or eight that Fortnite's in. It's a completely different game than what it was. And I think that's interesting. I don't know why. I guess it's kind of weird that Sony has that loophole of beta access. And it, to me, it seems like, cause I don't think Epic is really, they're not abusing the early access.
I feel like on the
player side,
push updates more frequent.
Yeah, if they could, they would just say it's released. Like, it's just for that loophole reason that they're probably doing it.
Yeah. I would say that like it's more on, if it's hurting anyone, it'd be hurting PlayStation, just because PlayStation can't probably enforce them as well as they can enforce other games. That's just such a weird thing. Yeah. And I remember, how long was Minecraft in alpha and beta? Wasn't that like 3 years?
Maybe. I remember beta was a good few years because that was the only way I could play it for a while.
Yeah. I remember Minecraft sticking in alpha and beta for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was just like, oh, you know, here's a new update that's just adding more and more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still in beta.
But that one worked.
Yeah, that also worked.
Developing the game still, not It's early access. And if we finish it, we finish it. If not, eh, you gave us your money already.
Yeah, Notch never used it as like a crutch of saying, yeah. you can't judge this game because it's in early access. A lot of people will try to abuse that. Like PUBG, fucking abused the shit out of it. Where it's like, oh, you can't judge the game. It's in early access still. It's like, you made me pay like $60 for this game.
I paid for it. I can judge it all I want.
Exactly. Like, your product shit, so I'm going to judge it.
They full released it, though, didn't they?
Eventually.
Yeah, they eventually did. It's full release now. Yeah. But I also remember fucking DayZ was in early access forever as well, and that was also something else.
That was also something else
that was... It was a really, really shoddy product that people just wanted to play it. So here you go, early access, and they didn't take those resources that they were getting from all the early access and say, okay, let's polish the shit out of this game and have a full release. It was just, it's an early access. I don't know what y'all want us to do. Don't expect much. It's an early access. I hate when people use it as a crutch. I can't stand it.
Mm-hmm. And see, I don't know how much press it's getting anymore. I don't know when the last update was, but I'm about to check its store page. I mentioned 7 Days to Die a couple times, and it's this zombie survival crafting. It was one of the biggest ones that was made in or one of the slightly more popular ones that was made in, I want to say, in Unity. It's very positive, sure, like just like review wise. To me, at a certain point, it just became the same. Like, there's only so much you can do because it's in early access, and even then, the stuff that works in this build is just not there. Like, the game wasn't still, it was never really polished. It's still in early access, and it's been out since 2013. If that says anything, like it's that these games are taking. There's no plan to push them beyond whatever experimental build that it has, and it takes the experience out of wanting to play a polished full release game that they don't really need to work on anymore. You know, that was the disappointment with the Master Chief Collection before it came to PC, was that for a long time no one worked on it. It had a lot of quality of life issues on the console, or because it was only for Xbox. But you know, at a certain point, people were like, "You need to fix this game," and no one was working on it until probably a year or two ago. They released a massive update and then released it for PC. Now they're still, of course, working on the upper 90% of the game because only Reach is out, but. But even then, it's like, it's, you know, you owe it to your fan base as a studio to produce something that's quality. And if it takes too long, it's understandable. But if it's at like 20, like for 7 Days to Die, if it's been what, 7 years, and you're still not like making a full production of it, then
yeah.
Like,
I would just have to say, it's probably like, if they finish it and it's a full release, they can no longer milk it for as much money as they can. It's I don't know. It's such a weird business model, and it's a really good thing for indie companies to be able to do. I don't like that. Also, AAA titles are like big name developers are also getting into doing this as well, where they'll just release early access of something for like months and months and months. It's just really disingenuous and doesn't feel like that they actually care to do anything. They just want your money, which I don't blame them, because people are willing to give them money for this shit.
Yeah, I feel like people are learning. I know I certainly did pretty fucking quickly. As soon as I saw, like, I don't know, just a handful of controversies around, like, oh, well, this game's out, but it's early access and blah, 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 whatever fucking brouhaha came up, I just learned pretty quickly, like, all right, well, I'm not going to buy anything that's not done, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times you can just wait for somebody to play the game and be like, yeah, it works, or no, it doesn't. And I feel like a lot of the times the ones that are worth getting are the ones that are, they have a skeleton, like a working skeleton. In the example of Minecraft, you have, it's a fully functioning game, but they want to add a lot more to it while it's in beta. It's like, all right, well, but it is performing well. It is doing what it's supposed to do. They're just still working on it. So it's like, okay, that you could probably buy into. But if it's something like PUBG, where it's like, this barely even fucking runs, it's like, well, I'm not going to buy it until it does, you know? So it just kind of takes that. You need to look at what it is right now. You can't, at least I know that I have no faith that a project will ever get finished. I look at it and I say, well, this is what it is right now. And what it is right now is not worth $60. So I'm not doing it. If it becomes worth $60, then I'll spend $60, you know? Like, it just kind of takes that level of patience and kind of, I guess, like, stubbornness to be like, well, I don't care if it's early access or what. That's not worth what you're selling it for right now, so I'm not buying it right now.
Mm-hmm. There's two more disappointments that I have, and then we can go back to our regularly scheduled program. I remember watching Devin stream I Love You, Colonel Sanders.
the dating sim,
the finger licking good dating simulator that thank God it's free. I would have been so miserably upset
if it wasn't free. I would be pissed.
Yeah, I thought that they were actually gonna go holy shit, yeah, this is like a proper dating sim.
Mm-hmm.
But it just wasn't this isn't really surprising, but all it was just like a 2-hour advertisement for KFC. I kind of went in expecting that, but I also went in being like, holy shit, they actually did this. But it wasn't really that entertaining, and it wasn't that, it was, I don't know. It's weird to describe that. It's like, I wanted more. And they just didn't deliver. Like, I would have flipped my shit if they would actually like delivered like a good solid story to it and you know, multiple paths and like other characters and whatnot. But it was literally just like, oh, hey, Colonel Sanders, and he's like, you gotta try my chicken. And you're just like, for 2 hours, it's just like, I love cooking, and I'm going to make some fucking mashed potatoes and gravy. I'm going to make some original 23 other, spices.
Other trademarks.
Yeah, and other trademarks. And I was just like, cool, this is just an elaborate advertisement. But like, that's all it is. I was actually hoping that it was a proper dating sim. That could have been so much.
Yeah, there's something very like r/ boring dystopia about that.
Oh, oh yeah,
it's just like, hey, wow, we're such a quirky corporate entity, you know, buy our chicken.
Yeah. We fucking made this lame ass video game. What? Because you have like Burger King games, you have fucking McDonald's games.
But those are always like cereal box games where it was just like, oh, this is a fun thing for like a 5-year-old.
Yeah, you got the Pepsi Man game. You got the fucking Domino's. Was it Domino's or Pizza Hut? The Noid.
Y'all
remember that one?
Domino's.
And then Domino's they had the 7-Up one. They had the 7-Up one as well.
Cool Spot.
Yeah, fucking cool spot.
I know my corporate entities.
This is lore beyond my understanding.
7-Up is the worst soda ever. Jesus Christ.
You heard it here. Taking the stance. 7-Up is the lamest soda.
Because like my grandma used to get the diet 7-Up when I was younger.
Oh my gosh.
Man, talk about fucking medicine.
Okay.
I would rather chug Robitussin than have that shit ever again.
I will put it out there. I like 7-Up. I will in solidarity pin this argument with I agree. I don't really like a diet 7-Up. Just sound like, how do you diet just straight up lemon and lime juice.
Yeah,
you know, there was. Yeah, go
to
ahead.
Me, it's ginger ale beats all those fucking lemon lime shits.
Oh, dude, yeah. Ginger ale's nuts. I love that. I love, and I also don't love it because I'm still getting over a Coca-Cola addiction. Once I'm weaned off of that battery acid, then I'll probably switch to something
thing
else.
You can like that
you can
fix
clean
your
battery
car
acid with.
You,
yeah.
You
yeah.
clean your cars, yeah.
What were we talking about? We were talking about the goddamn
we were doing
KFC game.
We yeah. said early access, and then Dominic had two things, and that was yeah. one thing.
Yeah. So oh, that was one thing. Okay, yeah, Dominic, what else you got?
The other one, I'll just make it kind of quick. I can't help but be uncomfortable about how much hentai games are coming out on the Steam market. I think it's a little.
That's
I think
always
it's
been a thing.
I'm very tempted to buy some of them and play them. Like I'm
like,
actually very because I've heard that some of them are like legit fucking good games.
Like okay, if the thing is, I still stand by. I'm probably never going to buy them. But if they're a couple, I don't know. If a small handful happens,
I'll stream them in Discord so
Jesus.
we can all watch
oh,
them.
Oh God!
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that this coming weekend. We'll have a family night where we just all watch me play a hentai game.
Family night.
Dear God.
Oh, what was that? What was that fucking clicker game you played, Devin? It was like a clicker game, but you clicked girls.
Oh, I
played it for like 5 minutes, didn't I?
Yeah,
I was like,
all
right.
Made us all very uncomfortable. We were like, all right.
I don't remember what it was, but yeah, it was an idle game that you just click the girls. Oh God, I'll have to find that one again.
But that's the thing. It's like at a certain point, it's like premise, mechanical premise aside, like it could be like a first person shooter, right? And like at the end of the day, it's still like. Okay, I think we're done here. It's just it's such a weird thing to me, and it's I don't know. I don't have much else to say on it other than I think it's kind of a nuisance because it shows up no matter what you do. Like in the Lunar Sale homepage, I'm like scrolling down and it's all the regular titles that I do, like action adventure, indie, massive multiplayer shit. And then suddenly there's like, oh, here's one mosaic pack of all the games. I'm like, this isn't targeted at all. Like, this isn't, you're just trying to like spit out nonsense. But that was my last grievance with the bullshit that's been happening in the past year or two.
I have one more early access game I want to bring up. Star Citizen.
Oh, wow, huh.
At this point, it's been in early access since 2013. Do y'all just want to take a guess on how much money it has raised?
Oh, my God.
It's
like
250 million? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a stupid amount
of
money.
Yes, they just recently, as of December, hit $250 million.
I'm a fucking genius.
You did it. Yeah, man. Everybody keeps throwing money at that game, and they're like, it's going to be great.
It's going to be good. It's going to come out.
One day it's going to be good.
Like, what they're showing is promising. Like, whenever they show, like, a tech thing, it seems promising. I'm not throwing any money at it yet, though.
Nope.
Because it's just so... One, it's probably never gonna fucking come out, but like two, it's like, well, show me when it's done, you know. I don't want to see all this interluding, like, oh, we made it to where you can land on the planet now. It's like, all right, cool, I don't care, just show me when it's done.
Yeah, it raised $250 million from just over 2.4 million players.
Wow.
So you can see the average amount
so
that each person
$100
spends.
A player, a little over $100
on
a
average,
player.
On average. Which
and
is, some people are
how
probably
much,
in the
how
thousands.
Much, yeah, how much is it? How much is it to buy the game?
So the game itself, I think, is like it's either 40 or 60 or something like that. But then you buy actual ships with real money. So then,
yeah.
If you want anything in game, you then need to spend extra to get it.
Yeah. I know somebody who's invested in Star Citizen. It's either Star Citizen or Eve Online. I don't remember. I think it is. And he's like
maybe both.
I actually it's both. Now that I think about it, but I remember him telling me, he's like, yeah, you know, I just spent, you know, like maybe $200 this month, and I just lost it all. So we're gonna see. And I'm like, what do you mean by that?
All right, losing it all. That sounds like Eve.
Losing it all sounds like
when the ship is destroyed, it's gone.
That's right. Yeah,
you buy ships with like real money, and then they can just explode.
Yes, and that was I think that's what he was sharing, was that like he spent like $200 to $300 and then lost all of it. And I'm like, this is not what games should be. I would
rather die.
Yeah, I wanted to make a quick interjection for those of you who might comment. Now that I've just figured it out, you can change your mature content settings in your Steam preferences.
So, you can, but
now that I know
thing,
that
it doesn't I, really I, work.
Well, oh, okay. Okay. One, it doesn't really work, and two, I did it once, and it actually didn't show me. Some kind of way I found out it wasn't showing me Oberdin, Return of the Oberdin, because it had like mild nudity in it, and it was just like, well, that's actually a good game, you know. So it's like I had to turn it off because it's like, who knows what gets filtered out. Like, one, some of those games still get through anyway.
Yeah.
And two, some actually good games get filtered out.
Well,
so
that's
like,
that's
well, shit.
That's the disappointing part. It's like if it's a game that is not like if it's literally straight up just not hentai, right? And it just happens to still get thrown into that mix. That's even more unfair. You know, but
yeah,
if
exactly.
You know, and without, you know, even with these preferences turned off, if like the biggest banner on your featured and recommended is Mosaic like Neko nonsense, then I'm like, I don't, it's it's really disappointing.
It's a bit of a disappointment. Which, by the way, I think that clicker game I was mentioning before is called Crush Crush.
Crush Crush.
Crush, crush, crush. So hey, man, if you wanna get on that shit,
I might have to.
I do
might
not.
Have to. Do
I remember
that.
Being very uncomfortable.
Yeah, this isn't. Yeah.
I mean, it happens. All right. What's our next topic that we want to bring up?
One of the other two that I know that we wanted to get into, we wanted to talk a little bit more about some personal favorites, because we kind of gleaned over it just a tad, but last episode or last part. But if we wanted to keep going with favorites, we absolutely can, because there's been some cool stuff that has come out.
I guess. Hey, yeah. I mean, do y'all want to stop right here and go for a part three? We can do like a little. If y'all want to hit like another favorite of the decade, and then we can go to part three.
Yeah, I think that would be nice.
Okay. Well, yeah, Dominic, what's another of your favorites from this decade?
Yeah, I mean, what's funny to me, weirdly enough, it's actually the Lego series of games. Like Lego Star Wars, of course, has been just an absolute treat and treasure, and that's all the way from 09. But you know, even like Lego Lord of the Rings, which unfortunately you can no longer find on the Steam store page, or like you can't purchase it anymore. It was it came out 2012, and it featured the actors and actresses, like the cast and crew actually voiced it. Weirdly enough, so like you're in a cutscene and like little Lego bricks are flying, but Saruman is still like, you don't know what to do. But I don't know, the Lego series is always a small favorite of mine.
The Lego series for me has always been not my favorite. I liked them when I was younger, but like, I don't know, they kind of feel like you more or less do the same thing. So it's just kind of like I played two or three of them and I was like, all right, I'm good.
it reminds me of a nostalgic, just like Nickelodeon humor. You know what I mean?
I suppose if that humor resonates with you, then you could probably grip onto that and hang on. Also, completionists and collectors could probably get down with it. I am just none of those things.
I am both of those things.
You are all of those things, Zach.
These games are curated for you then.
Yes.
Okay, Kevin, what's another favorite of yours that you had?
Let's see, real quick. I was really happy to see, I was really happy with A Hat in Time, to be honest. A Hat in Time was really, really fun. It was going back to that, like, kind of nostalgic old style. It's like, it's 3D platformer, but it's really smooth 3D platforming where it feels really good. And it's just not a kind of game that you get nowadays. And it's fun to go through it. It's got character. It's fun. It's interesting. There's a lot of times where they actually made me laugh, which is pretty rare. So, you know, hey, like, that game is definitely worth checking out. It's, to me, one of the best indie games of the entire decade.
I wanted to make a quick interjection. I couldn't help but laugh. The review system on Steam is just so good. I found it was the store page for Lego Harry Potter Years 1 through 4. The most helpful review is a positive recommendation, and it's ran over small children as Hermione in a wheelchair, 11 out of 10.
Thanks, Steam reviews.
Yeah, and we could keep the ball rolling. I just wanted to put that up.
All right, Zach, what you got for us?
Popular game, or not popular, but favorite game that I've played from this decade, probably my most played game on Steam, it's Terraria.
Oh, shit, I forgot about Terraria.
A lot of hours into it.
Yeah, Terraria has always been a really good go-to game. We've done that a few times where it's just like, fuck it, 10 people on a server.
Yeah.
When was it released?
2011.
Yep.
Jeez, I was like, yeah, like, a lot of good games came out right at the beginning of the decade, like the turn of the decade, and there was a lot of really, really good stuff that came out. All right. I would say that my, another, because I think last episode I mentioned FTL and Dark Souls series as my favorites.
Yeah.
So this time I'm going to say Celeste. I really enjoyed Celeste.
Oh, yeah.
I don't play a lot of platforming games, but that game was so awesome. There's a lot of really good tech that you can learn in that game that just makes you feel amazing whenever you can beat a level. It's really crazy.
Oh yeah, you can do the dash, and then you can do the super dash, and then you can do the hyper dash, and then you can do the super hyper dash.
yeah, you got like demo dash, you got hyper dash, you got just so much. So many different dashes.
You were looking up the speed run, and they were like, all right, so here's a quick demo of the text you need to know. And here's the super dash, here's the hyper dash, here's the super hyper dash, here's the
here's the reverse dash, here's the jump dash. Here's the
20-minute video. Because
you can, yeah, because you can, like, you can like dash into the ground and then jump, and you'll like fly farther. You can dash upwards into a wall and jump off of that, and then like there's ways that you can dash, and you can like kind of like wait on when you're jumping out of the dash, and you'll gain your dash back in midair. So there's just so much stuff in that game. I need to get back into it and try to learn that speed run again. It's heavily suggested to play Celeste. If you haven't before, pick it up, play it. It's awesome.
I wanted to give a quick honorable mention to Doki Doki Literature Club, because that changed a lot of people.
Oh yeah, that was a crazy game. That was the crazy game of the decade. I think that was like the craziest one. That was one probably no one expected to have a fucking like horror game in this dating sim.
Yeah,
that just totally fucks with you and becomes way too meta, and yeah, that was also another one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, thank you so much for watching. Well, not watching, for listening to this episode of the Tombstone
for staring
podcast.
Staring blankly forward in a void room and listening.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know you were watching that timer this whole time. It's okay. I do that at work whenever I have nothing to do. I'm just like watching the clock and just, come on, that's like 2 minutes, and it's about like 30 minutes. Yeah. please leave us a review on Apple Podcast or wherever you can leave us reviews. You can find us on Twitter at @tombstone_pod. You can find us on Instagram at @tombstone_podcast. And you can find us streaming anywhere at all that podcasts are streamed to. Thank you. Thanks to our service that we use, Anchor FM, which is where you can find our distribution page and click on links that can bring you wherever you want to go. You can probably get to Wikipedia from there somehow, I bet. And yeah, then from there, you can find the Wikipedia page on Hitler within like two clicks. So go. We're like 5 degrees of separation from Hitler.
that's the real takeaway here. That's the real takeaway.
I also did want to give a quick shout out to the 477 total hits that we have, and at least a mention of a listen from, of course, the U.S., but also Germany, Israel, Australia, Canada, India, the U.K., Sweden, and South Africa. Somehow our words have touched your ears, and that touches my heart. So thank you guys so much. All right.
I was like, that's a good send off, so I'll just not say
anything. Yeah, I was just like, I'm not gonna say anything.
Okay.
Are you gonna? No.
All right, let's in sync.
Okay. All right.